I see warplanes flying over Ukraine. I hear missiles and the death that they bring. I don't know about you, but I feel like we should do all we can do for Ukraine.
You just heard a snippet of the new single For Ukraine by Canadian Music Hall of Fame inductee Miles Goodwin here on Music's Journey. Miles Goodwin's body of work as a songwriter has him permanently woven into the fabric of Canadian rock music as the founder and lead singer and main songwriter for the legendary rock band April Wine. Miles Goodwin is raising awareness and support for Ukraine with the release of his moving new single. The leader of the multi-platinum selling rock band April Wine was inspired to pen the track after seeing the country suffering amongst attacks from Russia. Here to talk about the new single, his solo tour and upcoming April Wine concerts is Canadian Music Hall of Famer Miles Goodwin. Hi, Miles. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Oh, man. I'm so excited about being able to talk to you. It's been such a long time since I have been able to interview you.
When was the last time?
Oh, gosh. About 5 years ago.
Okay.
Out on the road in Toronto. So I have always covered you guys, and it's just something that is so special for me because you are a staple for me in music and one of the reasons why I fell in love with rock music.
Oh, well, thank you. How have you been?
I've been really good, really good. I know it's been a tough couple of years, and I know that this is a tough time that's going on right now. We have so much to talk about and cover for you. Let's talk about April Wine really quickly here. You guys are out on tour.
Well, we have actually started last week when weekend we were out west. We played in Winnipeg and we played Edmonton. And then we go back out in June for some shows, and then it continues for the rest of the summer. Back and forth home and then on the road kind of thing.
What was it like for you guys going through the pandemic and not being able to play some live shows? Because it's just a staple for us to be able to go out and see you guys play.
Yeah, well, it was difficult. It was very, you know, at the very beginning, it felt kind of nice not being able to live out of a suitcase. But then that wore off real fast. And then, you know, like most people in the industry, there was a real concern about the fact that there were no shows anymore. You know, we weren't getting to the fans. The fans and all of us weren't able to go out and do what we would normally do in terms of, you know, entertainment. So it was a tough time. I spent my time keeping busy writing and stuff like that and recording, but I really missed the live aspect and being with friends, the band, and so forth.
It's got to be so difficult for you, especially being on tour like 40 years, you know, to be sitting there doing that and all of a sudden go through something like this and have that come to a screeching halt for over 2 years. That's crazy when we think about it. And just, you know, a lot of bands had a tough time with it when they were just getting on track and, you know, just getting the momentum going for new albums and things like that. But you guys have been doing this for 40 years, and to stop and all of a sudden, you know what, you can't do it for two, gotta be a different feeling for you guys.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, it wasn't easy. No, kept busy doing other things. You know, I mean, most things have some kind of a, you know, a positive spin on it if you try.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed me to write and record, so I was able to finish this solo record coming out June 23rd called Long Pants. It also enabled me to write my next blues installment, and it also allowed me to get well into the writing process for a new April Wine record. So I didn't sit on my hands. I was busy.
You are always writing. You're such a prolific writer, and
Thank you.
Have penned in virtually all April Wine songs. Is writing easy for you? Do you find it easy, or is it?
It can be. It can be. It can be relatively easy. It's easier than digging a ditch, you know, but, you know, it, sometimes it comes easier than other times. Sometimes it's difficult. I have a new one right now that's just, you know, it's just, I got to keep going back at it, but sometimes it comes quickly. Just Between You, for example, came quickly. A new song called For Ukraine. I decided about a month ago on a Tuesday to do this. It was done Wednesday. I was in the studio Friday, did a video, and it was all out the following week. So it really depends. But overall, it's like writer's block is real. There are times when there's nothing there, so I just leave it alone. I don't pick at it, you know. It's getting away from it, clears your head, and then you go back to it, you know, weeks or maybe sometimes months later, and things are fresh again.
It's amazing when you take a look at all the songs that you've written throughout the years. What does For Ukraine mean to you?
Well, it just means that I was watching, like the rest of the world, what was going on with the invasion by Russia and the suffering. And, you know, I don't go deep into those things. I, as a writer, I never touch politics and I never touch religion. I leave them alone. They're lose-lose situations in a way, you know. You're not gonna upset somebody. And so I just leave it alone. Those are my own personal views on matters anyway. So anyway, with the Ukraine, I just couldn't take it anymore. And that's what songwriters are supposed to do, essentially. I mean, that's what folk music and folklore is all about, passing stories along, you know, from generation to generation. So finally, one day, like I say, I just woke up and I said, you know, I've been watching this suffering. It's so brutal. I can't not say something. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote the song and I felt it was good enough to record and release. And, you know, it's gotten a lot of play. And matter of fact, I'm headlining a Ukraine event on Saturday in terms of raising money to bring people, displaced Ukraine people into Canada. And it's happening. It's happening here in Nova Scotia where I live.
Oh,
and
that's
there are
amazing.
There are a number of families that have brought, that have taken in refugees, for lack of a better word. And they asked me to be part of it, and they'll be playing my video For Ukraine, and I will be performing a couple of songs at the end of their event. So, you know, and talking about it a lot, just in the hope that it maybe it'll help, you know, inspire people to open their wallet, really. I mean, a song like this has nothing to do with my career. I'm not doing this as a career move. This got nothing to do with anything like that at all, remotely. This is strictly about what can I do to help? What little bit can I do maybe that might be useful?
Well, you definitely have done that. What an incredible song. We're going to play it right now. Here is the powerful new single, For Ukraine, by the legendary Miles Goodwin, here on Music's Journey.
I see warplanes flying over Ukraine. I hear missiles and the death that they bring. I don't know about you, but I feel like we should do all we can do for Ukraine. Innocent families are caught up in war, with no escape, no safe place anymore. Without water, power or heat, and no medicine for the sick and the weak. There's no end to the suffering and pain. I hear voices cry out time and time again. Zelensky pleads justice for all, bravely asking with his back against the wall. Civilians and soldiers fight for their land. Shoulder to shoulder, they take a stand. Now I don't know about you,
I don't know about you.
It's so tragic, my heart is breaking in two for Ukraine. This needless war is causing so much pain, and people's lives will never be
be the same. Women weep and children cry. Some will live and some will die. Time will tell how the future will play. I hope with all my heart peace wins the day.
That was For Ukraine by the Hall of Famer Miles Goodwin. Man, I'm telling you, such an incredible song, so powerful in being able to speak about the painful, hard truth. And this song is sure touching hearts and raising awareness and helping the cause for the innocent people of Ukraine. Talk about your video for this one.
Well, the video is a very, very simple video in that, you know, everything came very quickly, as I said before. And so it was a kind of video where I felt it was important to simply state what's going on. It was the whole idea, of course, is to show the images without being too graphic. I didn't want horrific images there, and there's certainly those available, but I just wanted some images that went with the lyric, and the lyric was just telling, you know, how it is. And I used the print rolling across the bottom like a ticker tape, you know, like a news ticker tape, you know. And I went to the studio and I did. The song was so fresh. I do have headphones on, and I'm kind of referring to the lyrics as I go along. So it's a very simple video, but it does, the images are really clearly. I should say the lyrics are defined by with the images, so it's kind of works. Yeah,
it's a beautiful, beautiful song, and thank you so much for writing it.
Well, thank you.
You know, we all need to be able to stop what we're doing and take, you know, that time. This world has suffered so much, but you know what? This is just such an incredible cause. You can download your copy of For Ukraine on all your streaming platforms, and you can share it on all your playlists, and you can request it at your local radio station. Such an incredible song. So don't forget, you can donate and aid the people of Ukraine, contacting your Red Cross organization and search for fundraising sites in your area as well. You have your new album. We're going to be talking about that as well. So you have another album you just finished. And blues are so important to you. Is there a blues artist that really stood out to you, that really made you love that kind of music?
Well, yeah, the one blues artist that I attribute my like of the blues for is Taj Mahal. I love Taj. I love his writing, and I think that's why I like him the best of everybody, because he, as a writer myself, he's a writer, and he writes most of his own things. And I love his sense of adventure. He's been around such a long time. I was turned on to him in 1970, 69 or 70, with an album called Natural Blues that I still own. The songs, and he's such an incredible singer and musician, and he'll try anything. I mean, he did a blues album using primarily steel drums, and he'll use, you know, gadgets and stuff like pedals, choruses and phasing and stuff on his guitars, which the purists won't go near that. And he's a Hall of Famer, and he's still out there playing. He's a remarkable talent, just an incredible man in every way. And so it's him. I mean, I like B.B. King for a hit.
You know,
the great thing about somebody like B.B. King is he sang, for the most part, great songs. Mm-hmm. And I'm a song guy, you know, and so forth. I'm not really one that cares too much about just the jamming and the playing, you know, where they sing anything and then they just play. No matter how good they may be able to play, if there's not a song attached to it, part of it, then I get bored.
So it's got to mean something to you with the lyrics that stand
out. Yeah, just a great song. Just a great song is always a pleasure to listen to.
Tell us about the title for your third album, and that's Long Pants. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the subject matter in Long Pants is mature. It's an adult, you know, subjects. I deal with the war in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with a couple of native issues, including the unmarked graves of the of native children because of the, you know, the Catholic residential school system that was in place for decades, and also a song called Some of These Children, They Never Grew Up, which I wrote with Jim Henman, my longtime friend Jim Henman. And then I have a song about missing and murdered indigenous women. I'm doing a video for it later this month down in Cape Breton with with some Mi'kmaq natives. They sing, a couple of the young ladies sing on the record.
Wow.
The song's called Darling, Where Are You? And Tom Jackson, the great Canadian native actor, singer, Tom is on there. And, you know, and the reason I deal with the native subjects and these is because my partner is native.
Mm-hmm.
She's Sue Assiniboine. And so, you know, what hurts her hurts me. And I see the tears and I know what's going on. And then, as I say, you know, I write, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're on this. So these are pretty serious subjects. I address euthanism,
mm-hmm.
In a song called I Leave Today. I sing about diabetes. My youngest boy was diagnosed diabetes at the age of 6.
Wow.
And it's a song called Over the Moon. And it's a very positive message around young people and the JDRF and diabetes. And it's an easy pill to swallow, that song, but it's still a serious matter, and so forth. I have a song that I wrote when my daughter was born 42 years ago.
Wow.
In the wee hours of the morning, I went home and wrote the song complete before I went to bed. I recorded it 6 months ago or 4 months ago, whatever it was. Yeah, more like 6, for this record. And I didn't change a note and I didn't change a word. I had it right 42 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so I was able to get it down. Just a feel-good song with Lenny Gallant. I have a co-write on one song, two songs altogether. So these are it's not a heavy, it sounds like it might be a very heavy album, but it's not. The song from my native partner Kim called Princess Rain, which is very, with a reggae feel, really up and positive. So Long Pants refers to adults, mm-hmm. and Short Pants to children.
Very cool.
And so I call it Long Pants.
That is such an amazing title. That is just such a cool story behind that. It's great songs. I cannot wait for it to come out. You got it coming out later on this month, right?
It's going to be released in June, actually. June on my birthday.
Oh, nice.
June 23rd.
Wonderful. Cannot wait to be able to hear the entire album. I am always so excited when you've got something to release. I love everything you've put out for your solo career, as well as everything that you've written for April Wine.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Incredible, incredible writer. Where can fans get your latest album?
Well, when it comes out June 23rd, it should be everywhere.
Are they able to pre-order now, or...?
Not yet, but soon. As a matter of fact, I'm dealing with the very, very last little tiny, tiny bits of the artwork today.
Oh, cool.
And it'll be going to print next week. And then everything else seems to be in place. So it won't be long before we'll do some pre-orders.
Oh, nice. I cannot wait. Looking forward to it. And we'll make sure that we're covering it for sure on the show as well.
You.
So
thank you.
Absolutely love it. Now, you are also on tour right now, as we were talking about, for April Wine. It's incredible when I listen to your voice. It's just, you know what? I always know your voice every single time it's on the radio. And it's just something that is just a staple for all of us. Is there a favorite April Wine song for you?
Well, I mean, people ask that. And
I know.
And
they're all so important.
I answer like every other artist that's asked the very same question. I guess I do. It depends on how you look at it. You know, like Just Between You and Me would be a favorite because it was our biggest hit.
Here is the smash hit Just Between You and Me by rock legends April Wine here on Music's Journey. That was Just Between You and Me by rock legends April Wine. This was their most successful song of all time for April Wine.
Roller's a favorite because it's just, you know, it's just a great song with energy, and the fans wait for it and they love it. And it's, you know, and it was the start. It introduced us to the rest of the world. That was on First Glance back in 77, I think it was, or 78. When Brian Greenway came into the band, we went from 4 to 5 people. We released First Glance, and Roller was the song that broke us internationally. So that's a favorite for that reason.
We're going to play another classic rock song by Canadian rock legends April Wine. Here is Roller, here on Music's Journey.
Jack!
That was the classic rock hit Roller by one of the greatest Canadian rock bands, April Wine.
And you know what? I got to say, honestly, that, you know, on Long Pants, you know, the song for my daughter, Forever Amber, is one of my favorites. And, you know, and there's other songs. If you're not an April Wine person that has the albums and flips them over and listens to the go deep and listen to the B tracks and so forth, that, you know, people wouldn't even recognize other songs that I consider some of my favorites, like Mama Lay or
oh yes,
and there's a couple of others. So I've got a handful of favorites.
Well, they're all very important in snippets of time in your life. And, yeah, you know, and that's why I love that journey and being able to listen to albums front to back, because so many people don't do that anymore. And
no, it's funny. You know, I'll release this album will come out on Spotify and all the other kind of places, and it'll be, you can buy a track. You don't have to buy them all. You know,
it makes a difference. Yeah.
And you don't have to hold a CD or an album in your hands anymore and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I like that myself. I love albums, although I don't get albums hardly ever anymore. You know, I get CDs. If something comes out I really, really like, then I'll buy the CD. Mm-hmm. At least I'll be able to hold it in my hands and look at it and hear all of it, you know, not just a song or two.
I like an album in my hands. I like to be able to listen to every single track. I have to listen from front to back. And that's important to me.
The artist intends it to be that way. You know, when I buy a new record, I got one. What's this last one I bought? I don't buy a lot, but I bought the one with Robert Plant and Alison Gross.
Oh, nice. Yes.
You know, they have two together. One is 7 or 8 years old or something like that. I won a bunch of Grammys, and which I have. And then, of course, their latest one. And they had a couple of lead off singles and videos, and they hooked me again. So I'm able to, I listen to all of it, you know, because there's so much more. We as artists, we put so much into, or we should, and I know I do, as much as best I can by giving people, in this case, this new record, there are 13 titles. And you know, I worked hard on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no throwaways. Every single one of them I worked very hard on, musically, lyrically, everything, and production wise and everything. Sure, I want the fans to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to hear every single note and hear every word and hopefully like what they hear.
I think they will, because I every single thing, as I said, that you have put out, really, it's like each project has a specific concept to it. And this one, I think, is going to be pretty amazing too. When I get to listen to the whole thing, I cannot wait.
Yeah, I hope so. In a way, it's an important record. It's important to me, and I think it's going to be useful. Like I say, or I'm not sure if I did say, but you know, with Ukraine, I've got, you know, a live appearance on the weekend, which is very thrilling and an honor. And you know, in the JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, I played this song. It's called Over the Moon. I wrote for my son. It's very positive, very, very positive. Years ago, when my son was first diagnosed with diabetes, I wrote the song, and it's never made it to a record. I mean, these songs are not April Wine songs, you know, so, and they're not blues songs, so what do I do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and did a function for the JDRF, and they said, oh, you must let us know when you finally record this, and hopefully they'll use the song somehow, because it is a very positive message to young people dealing with a serious, serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and working with the Mi'kmaq Native people on Darling, Where Are You? And so forth, along with Tom Jackson and that, like, these are important messages.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll shed some light to a lot and continue to shed awareness, you know, to a lot of these issues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it is. You kind of chip away at things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my little part. So in that sense, it's kind of an important record. And even the people, you know, in terms of euthanism, you know, this is a very serious matter. And it's a top, you know, it's a topical these days, controversial, I should say, these days. And that was inspired by songwriter Dan Hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his mother chose to take her life at the age of 90.
Oh, and, I didn't know that.
You know, medically assisted, and she went to Europe at the age of 90 and said, you know, she'd had enough. And that's what she did. And he told this story at a songwriting circle that he and I did together. And I said to him after the show, I said, what a remarkable story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went home and I wrote a song inspired by this. And I sent it to Dan and I said, Dan, this is what I did. You inspired this. And he said, I love it. And I said, oh, I'm gonna release it on my record one day and I'll tell people the inspiration. And he said, that's just fine with me.
Wow.
So, you know, it's an important record in ways, you know, and so there you have it. You know?
I love these stories because these are the ones that can change lives. And this album is going to be so important for people to hear in so many different ways. And we're going to make sure we cover a lot of that in the article for this one. And oh man, I cannot wait to hear in detail every single lyric to every one of these.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about the Canadian Music Hall of Fame for all of you in 2010. What was that moment like for you?
It was okay. It was mixed. I mean, yes, it's, you know, to be finally recognized, it's kind of weird, you know, that it took them so very long.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm in, you know, me personally in my 60s before they even acknowledge and give us one Juno after everything we've done.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that pisses me off. And you know what? Nobody, you know, even though we were finally inducted, I guess their conscience got the better of them. I don't know. I am grateful. I'm grateful. You know, I think it validates to the fans, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've loved April Wine, and we have for years and years, and they've been nominated time and time and time and time again and never won a thing. You know, what's wrong? Do I have bad taste in music? Is it me? You know, and then to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, just it's a verification for fans, too. And it's really important to my family, I think, as well, to know that, you know, Dad or whatever is there, along with, of course, the other folks in April 1. And a downside of it was, like, nobody really seemed to care at the event. Like, after we got the award, we were sent to the press room, and there was nobody there.
Really?
Except maybe five people. And wow. There was one lovely lady of color there with her young son. And she was so wonderful because she looked around and she felt what I was feeling. So she had wonderful questions and she kept it going for a while. And I really appreciated that. Everybody was so excited that Justin Bieber was there that nobody gave a damn about anything or anybody else. And, you know, it took April Wine, you know, it was like 40 years. Mm-hmm. For us to get this Hall of Fame and a whole lot of history,
well,
including Rolling Stones in 77 and everything else you can think of, and nobody cared.
I'm telling you.
And, you know, and that's the business. I get it. I mean, I'm not joking when I said, who is Justin Bieber? I am not joking. He had just come on the scene in a genre that I have no interest in. You know, I just don't. Of course, I know who he is now. The world, obviously, knew before me, but we all know now.
Mm-hmm.
and that's wonderful, and that's wonderful for him. You know, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of, you know, it's kind of bittersweet when you finally get that award and you walk into a press room and nobody's there because nobody cares.
If I was there, I would have kept you guys a long time because I got such a history with this music. And
well,
I'm telling you,
it just tells you something about press in general. But anyway, let's move on.
Yes. Well, you've received your East Coast Music Lifetime Achievement Award in 2008 and the SoCan National Achievement Award in 2022. When you look at success from what you wanted when you first started out in this music industry to where you are now, what does success look like to you?
Well, it changes all the time. You know, so, you know, awards are wonderful, but this day and age, not as wonderful as I, you know, once thought they would be. Like my last, I did two blues albums, one in 18 and one in 19. And one in 18 was nominated for a Juno for Blues Album of the Year 2019. And it won the East Coast Music Award for Blues Album of the Year. And I won again. I released the second one the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even take a breath. I just wrote and released the second one. I won to run the East Coast Music Award again. Both of them had international success, literally. And that's really nice. And those awards are fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, they don't mean anything. No, I mean, not really. Some of them do. I mean, if you're an actor and you get an Academy Award, yeah, it means a whole lot. If I was to win a Grammy, that would mean probably mean a lot. And that's not to diminish these other awards that I've won. But typically, it's really nice, and I'm very grateful to receive them. But it doesn't change my life very much, you know? Mm-hmm. I just go on. I tend not to look back, honestly. I just, okay, good. So that's fantastic. Now, do I want to do another blues album, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've written, or I'm well in the process of writing a new blues record, which will come out this year. And it's not called Miles Goodwin and Friends of the Blues 3. it's called I Dream in Blue.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, and it's a studio album with a basically a band, where the other two were, you know, I wrote the songs, and then I had musical friends help me from all over the country record it. This is more of a band focus.
Oh, wow. That's going to be something really cool to hear as well. Do you know roughly when you're going to be releasing that one?
Well, as soon as I can. You know, I would say a late summer, early fall. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, I've been working on a new April Wine record because people have wanted one for a long time. We haven't had a studio album, and I don't know how long. And because of COVID, I have time to do a lot of writing, as I said. And so I'm probably halfway through the writing process for a new April Wine record, which I want out early in the new year.
Wow. That is going to be so cool. You know, for fans, for April Wine fans. Wow.
I think so. Yeah. And it'd be nice to get it out so early next year, so we can actually, you know, we can have it out. And when we tour in the spring, if all goes well, and we'll be able to feature songs from it as well.
Oh, that's so cool. I am looking forward to that. I cannot wait to see you playing live again and being able to come back and interview you. I cannot wait for that. It's been a while. It's been too long.
It
5 years.
It's been a long time.
I need my April Wine fix. It's been 5 years since I've interviewed you last.
Years,
yeah.
That's right. And where are you exactly?
Toronto.
Oh, you're right in Toronto. Okay, we played the CNE. Was that 5 years ago?
Yes, that's it.
That's the one. Yeah, that was a fun show. We were up in Ottawa last fall. That was a good show. It's not Toronto, but Ottawa, big outdoor festival. Felt like the real thing. It was wonderful.
You guys played out in Collingwood, too, I think, just before that as well.
With April Wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a while.
It was like 2010, I think, somewhere in there.
Oh, I don't remember exactly yet. Yeah.
I remember.
It rings a bell, though.
I remember every time.
Okay.
Well, as I said, it's a huge staple in my life. And anytime I'm doing a road trip, you guys are one of the first ones I'm playing in there. And I play front to back.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it. Well, congratulations on your third album. And that is Long Pants. It's coming out in June. So we're looking forward to that. And that is on June 23rd.
Yes.
On your birthday.
Yes.
That's going to be a great celebration. And also for this incredible, incredible song that you wrote, and that is For Ukraine. And that is such a special one. And we will be reminding fans where they can go for all of that and make sure that they can take part in really, really helping people that need it right now.
Yeah. Thank you. And I just realized, looking at my calendar, on June 23rd, my birthday, I am performing with April Wine in Ottawa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not too far from me.
Yeah, I don't know where it is in Ottawa, but I just have it marked on my calendar here.
Mm.
Old-fashioned, all right? I got a big block calendar, and I write them in, including my interviews. So I it's easier for me rather than going looking at them through emails and, oh, where was this and where was that?
It makes a difference.
Yeah, where in the thread is the time? Oh, my. Anyway, yeah. All right, then.
Thank you so much for taking some time, and I look forward to seeing you out on the road. And congratulations again. And April Wine is out on tour right now, too. So love it, and we hope to see you really soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Kim.
Here is the rock classic Sign of the Gypsy Queen by multi-Juno Award-winning rock band April Wine here on Music's Journey. That was the classic rock song Sign of a Gypsy Queen by Canadian rock icons April Wine. This was the second single from their album The Nature of the Beast. The song reached number 40 on the Canadian Hot 100. Here is the rock classic song I Like to Rock by rock icons April Wine here on Music's Journey.
We'll be right back.
That was I Like to Rock by Canadian rock band April Wine. This song was released in 1979 by Capitol Records. The band is still going strong, playing their greatest hits for fans around the world. Also, Miles Goodwin has got some great new music that's out right now. It's going to be coming out. Actually, he's got his new album, his third album, that's coming out on June 23rd. So you don't want to miss that one. Really, really special, special EP that I think everybody's going to want to listen to. Really personal and really, really incredible songs that are on this one. So don't forget to check that out as well. I hope some of these songs that I'm playing are bringing back some pretty special memories. I know they do for me. I can remember exactly where I was, and so many trips that I go on that I'm listening to April Wine as my road tunes, classic staple for so many of us that love classic rock music. Some amazing memories that go right along with it. We're going to play another classic rock tune, and that is Rock and Roll is a Vicious Game. This one has got some pretty cool lyrics behind it, so we're going to play it for you right now here on Music's Journey.
He rocked his way through yesterday. Lord, he thought he had a chance. He played guitar and wrote some tunes of love and romance. He did his share of traveling like a dog without a home. A fugitive who would rather give a star than never shone. Isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame? No one ever won before. Rock and roll is a vicious game. Said he wouldn't get led around or caught up in the games or end up in a gallery of faces with no name. And rock and roll was in his soul. The music was a friend. He recorded a song that made us sing along, and he was on the road again. Isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame? No one ever won before. Rock and roll is a vicious game. Opened up his heart to us. He gave us what he could. We sympathized and harmonized. He made us all feel good. But it's funny how those things can change and time can pass us by. Songs that moved us so easily no longer make us cry. Now, isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame? No one ever warned the boy. Rock and roll is a vicious game.
That was the classic hit song Rock and Roll is a Vicious Game by April Wine. Miles Goodwin wrote this song about the feelings that he had about being successful in the music industry and how tough of a business it is, and about how many greats self-destructed, you know, before our eyes in a really cool song. Love this one. A great big thank you to my very special guest, legendary multi-award winning singer-songwriter, author, guitarist, and producer, Miles Goodwin, for coming on the show. I have got some great shows that are coming up for you this month. I will be interviewing Sasha, Wes Mack, Big Wreck, Andrew Hyatt, Justin Hogg, Colin McDonald from the rock band The Trues, roots artist Carissa, New Moon Junction, Katie Topham, Lindsay L., Sash Jordan, Katie Hurt, Dustin Collin, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, Rob Fitzgerald, R&B singer and producer Carlos Morgan, and so many more. You can check out all my podcasts with artist interviews you do not want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out the articles that I write on all the artists that you know and love with the latest music, videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Last days of your life. alive.